I first knew him, I guess, when he came to Oxford in 1957. I was born in Oxford, lived there until I was 15. My mother and I moved to Vicksburg, Mississippi then. And then, as it turned out, it was probably somewhere between 25 and 30 years later that I encountered Bishop Gray again. One of the things he's best known for is the actions he took on the night of September 30th, 1962, when James Meredith was admitted to Ole Miss. I was 13 at the time, and that made a big impression on me, but as a 13-year-old, I really didn't remember very much about it.
Duncan Gray, this is still several years before he became bishop,
right,
could easily have rested on his family's reputation. His
Indeed.
Father was the bishop,
and
his family had a longstanding reputation for being a large part of the Episcopal Church.
Yes.
And but he chose instead to act as he did, and
yes,
as many of us now know.
Yeah.
What do you think drove him to do that?
Why didn't he just, he came from privilege, why not just rest on privilege? There were actually, I learned, several events in his life that led him to do what he did in Oxford. And one of those was when he was in seminary at University of the South, Sewanee in Tennessee. There was a brouhaha his senior year, and to some degree the year before, but particularly his senior year at the seminary, in which an African-American had applied to be admitted to the seminary. The seminary faculty were all in favor. The trustees and the administration were very much opposed. And during Gray's senior year, he was actually president of the senior class, very attached to the faculty in the seminary, and felt that it was part of his job as senior class president to stand with the faculty, as most of the students did. So that was one of his original stands that he took, motivated by his respect for the faculty and really what they had taught him, what he had learned from them.
So without giving away too much of the
yeah.
book, what is it that he did on that night in Oxford?
In Oxford. President John Kennedy was scheduled to deliver an address, a television address, probably about, I don't know whether it was 8 o'clock Eastern time or 8 o'clock Central time, but at any rate, Bishop Gray and a couple of faculty members who were members of his parish went out to a faculty member's house because they wanted to watch the speech on TV. And let's say that the speech began at 8 o'clock and lasted for 15 or 20 minutes. And just as the speech was ending, there was a news flash that violence had broken out on the Ole Miss campus and that Ole Miss professor had been killed. Well, at the moment, they suspected that the professor who was reputed to have been killed was the man whose house they were in. And so Bishop Gray and a couple of these other faculty members headed over to campus to see what they could do about that situation, to check it out, and then also to see if they could do anything to stop the violence.
In the book, you bring up the saying that segregation is incompatible with the Christian gospel.
Yes.
Those are strong words for a man of the cloth in Mississippi during the time. I think a lot of people, if they said anything at all, might say, well, different people see faith in different ways and much more of the sort of open ideas that we have in our time.
Yes.
But to say that you basically can't be a Christian mm-hmm. and believe in segregation mm-hmm. Are really strong words.
It was a very strong stand for him to take, and he spoke those words, believe it was 1957, a little while before he came to Oxford. He was at Mississippi State at a conference called the Changing South. And as he said, there was no way he could speak at a conference called the Changing South in 1957 and not say anything about race. So he made that statement. He was pretty quickly told, you can either retract that or you can leave.
He has said that that he doesn't consider himself to be a crusader.
Right.
And yet he's involved throughout his career in all these important events that happened in Mississippi in the civil rights era and thereafter as well. Is when he says that he doesn't consider himself a crusader, is this does he mean that he doesn't consider himself equal to the task, or is it a personal modesty that just says I didn't ask for this?
Well, it's certainly a personal modesty. His sense of humility is very strong, but I would say it's probably more than that. Also, that he certainly saw himself first and foremost as a pastor. If he had been a pastor at another time or in another place, he might never have gotten involved in all this.
Well, this book is just packed with information and deals with Bishop Gray's life from early on, starting from the situation with James Meredith at Ole Miss, even touching back on some of his earlier years and going all the way through his retirement. So, and is appropriately called And One Was a Priest, The Life and Times of Duncan M. Gray, Jr. We've been speaking with Araminta Stone Johnson, the author of that book and the assistant professor of religion at Queen's University of Charlotte. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.